Everybody's working in this town, and it's worried me night and day.
Yes, everybody's got the blues, or at least they did during the Great Depression. That blues song in particular was about the WPA, the project that President Franklin Roosevelt decided could help unemployed folks, including writers. As part of the New Deal, the Federal Writers Project, part of the WPA, sent people like novelist Zora Neale Hurston across the nation to document people's lives, people's struggles, including the topic of regional food. In fact, there was a project called America Eats, and there's actually a book out now, The Food of a Younger Land, which compiled this unfinished, lost WPA project. We have the author with us now, Mark Kurlansky. Mark, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
So the saying goes, you are what you eat. And if that's true, in this book, we are possum, or at least we were possum. We were squirrel. We were corn. How different is the food in this book from what we continue to eat today?
Well, the food in the book is was the reality of the time, very similar to what's a popular movement now of, you know, trying to be regional and seasonal. But at the time, it was what was there, what was available. There wasn't a national highway system. There wasn't a lot of air transport, and people and food weren't being flown. They weren't being moved around the country that much, and people pretty much lived off of what their area produced, and there were very strong local traditions, and you could travel around America on what they called highways, which were two-lane, and stop at restaurants along the way, and from not just region to region, but county to county, you would experience different food.
What do you think these writers, I mean, you have people like Eudora Welty, Zora Neale Hurston, all sorts of known and unknown writers, pieces that are signed and unsigned. What do you think it was like for them to be out on the road? What do you know about these manuscripts that were never published until now?
Well, the Federal Writers Project, which was organized in state by state and had over 4,000 writers. Some of them really were writers. Some of Zora Neale Hurston had published three books, including a very highly regarded novel, and some of them had never published so much as an article. The primary requirement was that you had to have no job and no money.
Which a lot of people had at that point.
A lot of writers qualify for
yes,
that.
Yes, exactly. Right. Still today.
But a lot of writers, but also, secretaries and, like today, there were a lot of newspapers folding, and all of those people from newspapers got jobs at the Federal Writers Project. And so these manuscripts had a wide range of quality. Some of them, beautifully written. Some of them were so terrible, I wouldn't have even contemplated publishing them.
But what was it like to handle this archive? I mean, it must have smelled like it must have evoked a whole other era.
Yeah, it did. It was like opening a time capsule. I mean, first of all, remember onion skin? They were all carbon copies on onion skin.
Wow.
And you open these boxes and you realize you were in a different time. And, some of them probably had never been read before. They weren't even read by the editors. There was this panic after the attack on Pearl Harbor, because in this archive they also have a lot of the correspondence, and you could see after December 7th, 1942, all of these letters went out saying, please get your copy in right now, because they understood that, World War II was about to start and that would be the end of the WPA. And in fact, it was. Before they ever really even got to the editing stage of this project.
Well, one of the things that strikes me when you talk about language is that, you do have everything from articles that are pretty much straight ahead recipes, this is what people eat, this is how they cook it, to ones that have a little bit more of a, I guess, a narrative. One of them is the North Carolina Chitterling Strut, which is written in dialect about black folks eating chitlins. What do you think of the way language was approached in that piece, you know, and how people observed each other and wrote about each other?
Well, you know, I said it was like opening a time capsule, and, you know, there are good and bad things about visiting 1940 America. And one of the things you realize, especially when you read the southern parts, is, you know, you're now in the pre-civil rights South. And, you know, this is the WPA. These were the great liberals and progressives of the time. And, you know, some of the language is so racist, and some of the, you know, the dialogues with black people who are identified only by first name and comma in Negro. And, you know, a lot of it read like masters and slaves. And
that's really interesting.
Well, you know, but it's an important narrative to hold on to. But there's also some, I mean, this is just straight up comedy to me. New York soda luncheonette slang and jargon. Axle grease, butter, a yard of, dish of spaghetti, baby, glass of milk, Bay State bum, customer who demands much service and leaves no tip. I think every waitress has got one. It's just like, right. And then it goes on for pages of this great slang. Yeah. You know?
Did you try any of the recipes in here? Anything encourage you to cook up a squirrel?
Well, you know, these were Appalachian flying squirrels, which are pretty rare these days. The one recipe I did try was from southern Indiana. I have an attachment to Indiana because I went to college there, and, for persimmon pudding, which is still very well known in only about two or three counties of Indiana.
Oh, that's interesting. I've had a lot of persimmons, but never persimmon pudding. Well, fascinating topic. Mark Kurlansky, and I'm hoping we can put a couple recipes of this up on our website at thetakeaway.org. The Food of a Younger Land is your book. And, you know, I will try to be not to be a Bay State bum. Thanks, Mark.